If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn to Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16, and what are we looking at? Chapter 16 is in part of 17. I did want to preach something on Thanksgiving. I don't think that's really one of my strong points, is picking a topic or something like that. I'd enjoy, as you can tell, going through a book of the Bible and just continue, you know, right along. But anyway, I do try to be, I guess, creative, I guess is the word. I don't know. But anyway, but I want to look here at, you can go ahead and put it up there, the results of an ungrateful heart. Gratitude is the quality of being thankful and showing appreciation for what we have. I got this, can't tell you how good the source is, but, you know, I Googled, you know, gratitude and things like that, and I got a little article, and it said that expressing gratitude can improve your mood. People who regularly express gratitude for the positive things in their life are shown to be happier overall, leading to lower rates of stress and depression. You know, I think it's interesting, you know, having gratitude can help that. Showing gratitude can make you be more optimistic. Studies show that those who express gratitude regularly appear to have a more positive outlook on life. Sharing gratitude can improve social bond. People have reported feeling more loved and more connected to others in their life when they routinely practice gratitude for those around them. Practicing gratitude can improve your physical health. People who actively express gratitude tend to be more engaged in activities to take care of their physical health, like eating well and exercising. This leads to higher energy levels, better sleep, and stronger immune systems. The research is clear. It said that gratitude is a superpower. Grateful people enjoy benefits and such as improved physical and emotional health, better relationships, higher self-esteem, and longer lifespan. You know, so that's just an article that, you know, and I think that would be true. But here's the most important thing about gratitude. And it's commanded by God. That's the thing. If gratitude never helped us in any way, when it does, we're commanded to be grateful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. I like the way the ESV reads it. It says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Philippians 4:6. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Here's the thing. We are commanded to be thankful. And we can talk about all the things I said above, but we are commanded. But the truth is, many of us as a whole struggle with being thankful. You say, why? Well, this is my opinion. Because many of us rarely go without. Most of us have an abundance of what we need, and many of us have an abundance of what we want. The bottom line, we rarely do without anything. Many of us have always had a warm place to stay and ample food to eat, and if we didn't, for many of us, it didn't last long. Most of us, I can only speak for myself, I've always had a warm place to stay, a cool place to stay in the summer. I've had plenty of food, and I've actually had food, not what I just needed, but what I wanted. Even this morning, I got up for breakfast and ate a Little Debbie for breakfast. I don't actually need Little Debbies, but I've got them. It's what I want. That's one of the reasons why we rarely do without, and we're so used to having everything that we forget to be thankful. And what's really sad is that when we do lose something, we start complaining. The truth is, as a whole, I catch myself and I see it even in our church, with my friend, with my family, all of us, we the truth is we tend to be very ungrateful. Every Thanksgiving, we talk about being thankful and how much we have to be thankful for. We even rebuke ourselves for not being thankful. That's what a lot of sermons we do. Sometimes we'll rebuke it or we'll talk about, and it's like I said, we'll spend the whole 30 minutes, talk about, why we should be thankful. It's commanded, we got so much, and et cetera, et cetera. But we never really talk about the results of an ungrateful heart. That's what I want to look at today. I want to look at the results of an ungrateful heart. Here's the context. The Israelites have just finished 400 years of slavery in Egypt. So we'll stop right there. You think that after this, that they would be full of gratitude, right? Okay, you think automatically getting free from slavery, surely they will be thankful. Anyway, God heard their cries through the leadership of Moses and delivered them from Egypt. They have now been set free and now are heading to the land that was promised to them by God. They've seen God work. God parted the Red Sea. They've had a visible guidance of God and a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. They have now been free for about a month. What do you think their attitude would be? Well, like I said, I would think it would be overwhelming gratitude. But that's wrong. If you look in chapter 16, and if you were to look, and we're going to read the verses as we go, but verses 2 through 12, you'll see the word murmur used 7 times, which it means to grumble or complain. That is the opposite of being thankful. But I'm going to be honest with you. In my life, and as I observe in our lives, we're a lot like Israel. We've been given so much. But what I see a lot of is grumbling and complaining. We grumble and we complain and we criticize. We'll talk about all that here in just a minute. And it's what I wrote down. What else does God have to do for them to be thankful? God literally delivered them supernaturally from slavery. What else does God have to do? I think about this. If someone wrote a story about us today, I'm afraid that they would say the same thing about us. What else does God have to do for you to be thankful? We always find a way to complain, don't we? And I gave an illustration when I had to have surgery of how that I was really just in a mulligrows, but I had to have surgery. Had one surgery and a year later had to have another surgery and I was in the mulligrows. And then it hit me. There's a lot of people who would just like the opportunity to have surgery. Who would like to have the opportunity to rid themselves of some type of sickness. See, even in our blessings, we find a way to complain about them, don't we? We've been blessed with vehicles. We don't have to walk wherever we go. And what do? We find a way to complain about what? Gas prices. Ever since gas went over $2 a gallon about 10 years ago, we have been in a constant, perpetual complaining about gas. Well, stop driving then. If you're going to complain about it. But Lord, again, we're blessed. We're blessed. We're blessed with 2, 3, 4 vehicles, yet we complain about gas. See, my point, we complain about so many things. I could go on and on, but that's not really the point. My point is to say that we struggle with being thankful. So what are the results? What are the results of an ungrateful heart? When we become ungrateful, number one, it's the first one, we become dissatisfied. We become dissatisfied. Look at verse 3. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pot, and when we did eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill us, and to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Basically, things were not going 100% the way they wanted or thought they should. Now they are dissatisfied with God's leader and God's leadership. I want you to think about that. I mean, they've run into a problem and they become dissatisfied with God's leader and with God's leadership. Let's pray and we'll continue this thought. Father, I ask for the next few minutes, dear God, if we come together, that you'll help us, Lord, to reveal to us, Lord, what's wrong with our lives, Father. Lord, I don't know each person's heart. There's probably someone here who's very thankful each and every day. And Lord, this is really not for them. But I know for me, and I know there's probably some others who are not as thankful as they need to be. And I ask you to help us today, if we look through this, to reveal to us, Lord, if we're being ungrateful. And I ask you to help us to repent of that. And we'll talk about at the end, and that being ungrateful is a sin. Lord, and help us, Father, to realize that this sin is just as important to you, to for us to get rid of this sin just like any other sin. Lord, help us, Father, to realize that today, Lord, and repent of that, if that is one of us today, in Christ's name. Amen. They become dissatisfied. That's what happened. When you become ungrateful, we don't interpret the word of God by our own experience, but even in our own experience, we notice, sometimes we realize that when we start grumbling and complaining, a lot of time we become very dissatisfied, okay? And that's the one thing that Americans are, and they're dissatisfied, and the one thing that most people are chasing is just, they don't even realize it, is that we want to be content. Most people want to be content. They want to be satisfied, but many are not. And one of the reasons, well, first of all, it starts with a relationship with God. But then after that, one of the things is that because we're not thankful. So here's the thing. There's three things under here that happen or reveal to us if we're dissatisfied. You say, well, am I dissatisfied today? Well, let's look. Letter A. Complain about the situation, okay? If you're somebody who's dissatisfied, you're going to complain about the situation. And that's true. Before we look at the Word of God, have you ever been out to eat? And have you ever been dissatisfied with your food? What do you do? Almost automatically, you complain, right? Same thing in our own life. In that if you are someone who's dissatisfied, and what, no matter what it is, whether it's your home life, whether it's your job, whether it's the church, whatever it is, you're probably going to be caught complaining about the situation. And that is exactly what they do. Their situation. They an outbreak of grumbling seemed to have arisen because of the food supply. They feared starvation. And we see here, it says here in verse 3, it says here, to kill this whole assembly with hunger. They fear starvation. They are in a situation where they realize that they don't have any food. And so what is the best way to solve a problem? Complain about it. Right? No. But that's exactly what they did. If you look at verse 2, and I'm going to read this in the New King James, and it says this, then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. I wrote this down. Calling for God for help is one thing, but complaining about where God has led you is another. It's one thing to call on God for help in your situation, but it's another thing to complain about your situation. If you go to Exodus 15, if you want to, look at verse 24 and 25. I just want to point this out. And the people murmured, that means complain, against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which he had cast it into the water. The water remained sweet. They have already seen God provide water for them. And think they would have realized he wasn't going to let them starve. You would have thought that their reaction would have been to call on God, not complain about God. Why was this? The simple answer is sin, but to break it down, they were ungrateful for what God had already done. We see nowhere when they're thankful. We see no praise of Him, no praising God. It's all we see here is an ungrateful spirit. They were dissatisfied with their situation. Their ungratefulness caused them to be dissatisfied, which resulted in complaining about their situation. But secondly, letter B here, is comparing situations. So today you're wondering, am I an ungrateful person? Am I someone who is dissatisfied? Well, let me ask you, does your life revolve around complaining about the situation you're in? Or this, do you compare situations? You say, what do you mean? Well, look at verse 3. I think it's interesting here. He said, and the children of Israel said unto them, would to God that we would have died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. Here it is, right here. When we sat, here's the comparing. When we sat by the flesh pot and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. So here's the comparing. They said, oh, here's the situation in Egypt. In Egypt, we sat by flesh pot. Oh, in Egypt, we eat bread to the full. But now, in this situation, and I'm getting somewhere, so stay with me. When in this situation, we're here in the middle of nowhere, and we're being uncared for, and we'll die of hunger. Let me read what someone said. Funny. I don't remember them doing much setting. They were too busy looking for straw. Can you believe it? 400 years of slavery in Egypt. 1 month of freedom, and they want to go back to Egypt. They complain about their situation. They complain about both situations when they were in them. Remember that? Think about it. Hold on. So think about this. Remember when they were in Egypt, Brother Mike? Didn't they complain when they were in Egypt? Didn't they whine and cry about what they didn't have? Now they're in the wilderness. I'm going to tie this together. Now they're in the wilderness. And they're complaining again, right? Let, by the way, let's take a time out. If you're someone who likes to complain, you're probably going to complain no matter what. Because it's not in your situation that you're complaining. It's because you're ungrateful. You say, what do you mean? Well, let me show you. Let me tell you. And then flip back over here for just a second. Because instead of being thankful for what they had, they focus on what they didn't have. When in Egypt, they looked at what they didn't have, freedom. But they forgot about what they did have, food. They didn't sit there and say, Lord, I don't like being in captivity, but thank you for providing food for me. When in the wilderness, they looked at what they didn't have, food, and forgot about what they did have, freedom. Instead of recognizing what they had and being thankful, they compared situations and looked for what they didn't have and thus become dissatisfied. What about you? Do you compare situations? Maybe you compare your situation today to past situations. Maybe you look back at when you were younger and had more going on and you look and say, man, life was just so great, which that's what a lot of people do. Life was just so great. Now it's just nothing. Gas was 50 cents a gallon, now it's $5 a gallon. When you compare situations, maybe it's a future situation. Maybe you're looking in the future and saying, hey, man, my life now is just terrible. But in the future, I can just see what it's going to be like. Well, do you know what happens when you think about the future? We never calculate the problem that's going to be in the future, do we? Kind of like, you know, if you want like a puppy dog. You know, when you think about wanting a puppy dog, you always think about how fun the puppy is, but you never can think about the work that comes with it a lot of times, do you? Or maybe the situation, maybe comparing the situation or what the world tells you that you need to be in. Can you ever tell yourself sometimes life would be better if I just had, you fill in the blank? Didn't you desire to be somewhere else with something else, and in some cases with someone else? What's happened? You've become just as foolish as Israel. You're comparing a certain situation with another situation. And what happened, and in both situations, you're looking at what you don't have. You have become ungrateful and are comparing a certain situation and focusing on what you don't have, thus become dissatisfied, which is a product of not being thankful. When you're dissatisfied, you will complain about your situation, you'll compare your situation, and you will let her see, you will criticize others about, well, I put our situation, or you can do your situation, criticize others about your situation. You say, what do you mean? Let's continue to read. Look at verse 3, and it says in verse 3, it says, and the children of Israel said unto them. Okay, now, them, I know you know this, but who's them? Well, go to verse 2. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Now, what did it say in verse 3, the last part? We've read it like 5 times now. He says, ye have brought us forth into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. They were ungrateful. It led them to being dissatisfied about their situation. Their dissatisfaction led them to criticize others. Let me ask you something. Do you like to criticize others about your situation? Then you just might be dissatisfied. And if you're dissatisfied, there's a good indication that you're probably not as grateful as you need to be. So A, B, and C point to number one points back to our theme that if you're dissatisfied, you're probably struggling to be grateful. They would not have been criticizing Moses and Aaron if they had been thankful for what they had, which was freedom, instead of focusing on what they didn't have, which was food. Your critical spirit could very easily be tied to your ungratefulness. Hey, you have a critical spirit? And let me be honest, I'm gonna be honest. Most of us have more critical spirit than we like to admit. And I'm talking to myself. I'm not just talking about one person here, I'm talking about myself. I'm talking about all of we're not careful. We are very, very critical people. Why is that? Because deep down, we're not grateful people. And I can use some simple illustration. I mean, well, I'll tell you something right now. I'm dealing with some sinus issues. Who likes sinus issues? Not me. And I was getting ready this morning, and I was thinking, you know, I took Benadryl, I took Sudafed, I took all this stuff. I'm drinking pomegranate juice, supposed to be good for you. So anyway, and I was in the mood to grow up just a little bit. Not bad, but I was like, why have I got to be under the weather? But you know what I realized? And then y'all might know this, but for the last 3 years, I've really struggled with my ear. Getting infected, getting fluid behind it. It's a stationary tube, it doesn't want to open, why I've had 2 surgeries on my ear. And it dawned on me this morning that although I've got all the sinus issues, my ears not hurt me one time. What a blessing. But that's not what I was doing. See, I was focusing on what I had going. I was focusing just like Israel. Instead of focusing on having freedom, instead of having food, I was focusing on, I've got the sniffles, instead of thinking, you know what, my ears not hurting me. And I stopped right then because I knew I was going to preach. So I knew I wanted to, like, you know, and I thank God that my ear wasn't hurting. And by the way, if you don't know this, but my ear has been a big thorn in my flesh for the last 5 or 6 years. That's my point. I was being very dissatisfied because I wasn't being very grateful. I was being very critical of my situation. I was complaining all because I forgot to be grateful. See, like that, even in the midst of something that's not that great, focus on what you do have, not what you don't have. Grateful people don't complain, compare, or criticize. They are satisfied because they see what they have, not what they don't have. Let me ask you, does complaining, comparing, and criticizing, did that describe you today? If it does, you're probably struggling with being ungrateful more than you want to admit. And truthfully, you're probably dissatisfied. But anyway, let's move to the next one. The result of an ungrateful heart, first, we become dissatisfied. Number two, we become disobedient. Disobedient. Letter A here is the remedy. Okay, you said, what's the remedy? Well, let me tell you first what the problem is. The problem here is, like I said, there's a situation. They are hungry. Verse 3 tells us that. They wanted food, and one guy didn't write in my notes, but one guy talked about how that there was probably a drought. So they probably were going through the wilderness. There's a belly and a growling. They don't have any food, and they realize that there isn't gonna be any food because of the drought. Okay, so we like to, and I don't know where they get that from, but put a pretty reliable scholar there that said that. And so, you know, anyway, so in that context, I can see why they were a little concerned. So we see here, we know the remedy here. And that in verse 4, it says here, and then the Lord said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rain every day, and I will prove them whether they will walk in my law or not. All right, and go to verse 13. And it came to pass that at the eve and evening, the quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay around about the home. So here's the remedy. They're hungry, and this is what God does. He said, I'm going to give you manna, and I'm going to give you quail to eat. God provided for them. Well, like any promise with God, there comes a condition. And with this remedy, there's a rule. Here's the rules. God told Moses, you tell the people that go and gather manna every morning, but gather only as much as one person or one family can eat. You see that in verse 4, I've already read it. You can see that again in verse 16. And he said, this is the thing which the Lord has commanded, gather it every man according to his eating. And homer for every man according to the number of your person, take ye every man to for them which are in his tent. And there's another rule. He said, number one, gather just the right amount. But number two, he said, on the sixth day, gather twice as much to take care of the sixth day, which would be Friday, and then Saturday. We see that in verse 22. And it came to pass on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, two homers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses, okay? So basically, so here's the rules. You gather just what you need. And he said, and then number two, when it comes to 6 day, gather twice as much. Well, look at, we see the remedy, we see the rule. Now let us see the rebellion. Look at verse 19. And it said, Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left it until the morning, and the bread worm, and bread worm and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. Look at verse 27. And it came to pass that they went out, some of the people, on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my law? I want you to understand, the Lord heard their ungrateful complaining. The Lord gave them food, and he gave them rules to test him. Verse 4, I'll read it again. It's in the last part. That I may prove them when they will walk in my laws or not. They didn't obey. Now, if we read this, we understand that there's more to. They've got more issues than just unthankfulness. I want you to know that, okay? I want to make you aware of that. But I want you to understand that thankful people, and I'm going to read a verse in a minute, thankful people obey. I want you to understand that. Thankful people obey. Hey, thankful employees obey their boss. You see, in a work environment, you know, the one who are not, don't do their job, the one who are not thankful. You know, thankful children obey their parents. Thankful believers obey their God. There is something to be noted that ungratefulness is linked to disobedience. Even in our text, they are struggling with gratefulness. And a few verses later, they're disobeying God. And let me read a verse. You know the verse. Romans 1:21. And it said, but that they, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination and were foolish, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Interesting. I don't really know how to connect all the dots, but interesting to me how that unthankfulness and sin link up together. Let me read what Picker really said about Romans 1:21. He said, gratitude moves us in the right direction. Ingratitude renders a person incapable of pleasing God. And it sets in motion a number of other sins. Now, what in the verse, I'll be honest, the verse here, the text here doesn't say that they disobeyed God because they were unthankful. But we can tie the two together and we can interpret the word of God to realize that their ungratefulness definitely helped them disobey God. Being ungrateful is not going to help you obey God. And that's one thing that's funny to me, how, again, sin starts off small, doesn't it, Brother Mike? They started by not being thankful. That's no big deal. So like now, you may say, well, it's okay that I'm critical. It's okay that I complain. It's not that big of a deal. Man, it's amazing to me how they start off by being unthankful for their freedom. Now they're over here and they're just directly disobeying God. There's a connection. I want you to know there is a connection to ungrateful people and obeying God. Ungrateful people, it's my opinion, and I'll say this, become bitter. They become entitled. And then bitterness and entitlement leads to justification to do what they want. Well, again, because I always think about this, because when you go out to eat, you know, you're being served by people. And, you know, going out to eat, you forget that God bless you enough to go out to eat. Instead, you sit there like, well, my food is not here. And because they don't do things right, you become entitled to act like a jerk. Or you say, well, I'm not going to leave a tip because they were bad. I'm not going to show any compassion. Yada, yada, yada. What's happened? We've become ungrateful. I'm glad God don't deal with us that way, right, Brother Mark? I'm glad God don't deal with me that way. There's just something to it. There's something to it. Ungratefulness will result in disobedience. And what about today? Once again, maybe you are, you know, like a lot of times, I don't know what it is in your life. Maybe you've got a chip on your shoulder. Maybe you've got a disgruntled attitude. Maybe you've got this, I ain't moving and no one's going to make me move. And I'm not going to do what I want, and I don't care what anybody says. And you feel that way, maybe all deep down because you're ungrateful. Do you have that spirit about you? But here's the thing, you're being disobedient. There's no excuse for disobeying the word of God. You don't have a right to be unloving. I think I wrote that here somewhere. You don't have a right to be bitter. You don't have a you're not justified to be unloving. You don't. But many times that creeps into our lives. It creeps into our lives when we, because we are not grateful. We get this sense of entitlement and justification that we can treat people like jerks. Which is one of the things I've taught people. You get mad at me every time I say, I know you don't think I'm unpatriotic, but that's what I see so much in the political realm now. Christians have become ungrateful and become, over our country standing, and that, and become maybe entitled and bitter to where you think you need to be a jerk to other people because they don't have the same political views as you. That's wrong. Why? Because you're not thankful for what you have today. It's wrong. You don't have any right to be unchristian. And I don't even call me unpatriot, you do whatever, but if your patriotism makes you be unchristian or unbiblical, you're wrong. You're wrong thinking. You don't never have an excuse to grumble and complain in the name of patriotism and be ungodly. I'm just, you know, and I know I'm on an island by myself on that when it comes to church, but it's true. But why? Why? Because what happened, we're ungrateful. Once again, when you go to the gas pump, you're not thinking about, man, I'm so glad that God gave me a vehicle to drive. I'm so glad I don't have to walk. Instead, we're focusing on what we don't have. And we're comparing what it used to be like. See? That goes back to point number one. Hey, the result, and then you become disobedient by becoming an uncompassionate, grumpy jerk. Why are you waving the American flag? It's true. The result of being ungrateful. You become dissatisfied, you become disobedient, and finally, and this is the most sad point, you become defeated. We become defeated. Then we'll go to chapter 17. Man, God has been gracious to them. God has provided for them. He provided food, manna, and quail. He provided water. You think that we've learned a lesson about faith and gratitude, right? Wrong. Think again. Here's letter A, here's the example. We're going to look at an example of defeat. Once again, they're in a problematic situation. What it says here is that all the congregation of children of Israel, verse 1 of chapter 17, the wilderness of sin, which by the way, there's no correlation with sin, and well, that's just the name of the place, okay? So don't read too much into that. After the journey according to the commandment of the Lord, it said they picked, and I'm not trying to pronounce it, and I'm going to skip it, and there was no water for the people to drink. All right, so here we are again. You're in a problematic situation. Here's the problem. They don't have water. Now, you think, Brother Sonny, that at this point, after all that happened, you know, they made the bitter water sweet. They got bread falling from heaven. That now they will have learned to be thankful. They've got freedom. They've got food. They've got everything they wanted, right? Right. But here's the thing. But let's see what their reaction is. Look at verse 3. Well, let me look at here. I got a typo in my notes. That's verse 3. And the people thirst for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst. It's almost identical to the previous. They are not thankful, they're complaining, and they're grumbling. But here's the kicker. It intensifies. You say, what do you mean? Look at the next verse, verse 4. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. Their ungratefulness, their sin has grown. It's intensified. They are, and I'll say it like this, they are defeated by their ungratefulness. Yet, I understand that it's more than that. Here's the thing. They have progressed not just complaining, but they're complaining to the point that Moses fears his life. And I don't think Moses was a dramatic person. No. I don't think that he would overreact. I mean, they're literally ready to stone Moses. Think about it. It all could have been avoided if they were learned first to trust God, but also be thankful. Instead of ungratefulness overcome them, and they are defeated. You say, what do you mean? Well, let's go to letter B, the explanation. An explanation. Let me say, okay, I want you to understand this. Any sin can hold you captive. Any sin can defeat you. Now, I know what we like to do. We love to harp on when it means sexual sin. We talked about that last week with the works of the flesh. And we like to think of some terrible sin that's just repulsive. And we're like, yeah, that sin can hold you captive. We like to think about drugs and alcohol and things like that. And rightfully so. Them things, they can hold you captive. They can destroy your life. Let me tell you something. That's true of every sin. When I'll read a verse. You know, we like to say things like, sin will cost you more than you want to pay. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. It'll take you further than you want to, take you further than you want to go. That's true. And we like to say amen. Because we're thinking about some sin that maybe you're not guilty of. We like to read Proverbs 5:22. The iniquity of the wicked is snare him, and he'll be held fast in the cord of his sin. And I used to do this in children's church. I'd take thread, and I would take black thread. It represents sin. And I would take a kid, and I would tie a thread around their hand. And I say, break that. And they would break it. I said, then I'd take and I'd tie, and I'd wrap it, and I'd wrap it, and I'd wrap it to the point where they couldn't break it. That's how sin is. Sin starts off small, and it's no big deal, but it gets to the point where it holds you captive. And that's the thing, I want you to understand. So, newsflash, we are commanded to be thankful. We say amen, think about sins that we think we will never commit. But I want you to understand, being unthankful is a sin. And 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks for the will of God. That's an imperative, by the way. And you're commanded. The sin of ungratefulness can cost you more than you want to pay. And can make you stay longer than you want to stay. And it'll take you further than you want to go. Oh, I don't hear no amen now. Because we like to sit on the pew. We like to think about fornication and adultery and murder. And we want to think about putting in prison. Like, yeah, they're sin. They're wicked. It took them further than they wanted to go. But I'm trying to tell you today that unthankfulness can defeat you. It can defeat you. It can hold you captive. Let me ask you, when you talk to your best friend, when you talk to someone who you don't think anyone's listening, is it filled with complaining and criticizing? When you sit around, you're in that tune, you sit around and compare, like, well, things need to be so much better. Aren't you ungrateful? I don't want you to understand that it can defeat you. They were defeated. The sin of ungratefulness had defeated the Israelites. Oh, I bet you they said things like this. Well, we're better than the Egyptians. We don't worship them false gods. We're God's chosen people. Oh, I go to church on Sundays. I'm a Christian. Good. But don't mean you're immune to sin. And one of the sins that I think the church probably is falling flat on their face is being thankful. You say, why? Because, including myself. I mean, what sums up our comments, our conversations? A lot of it being we grumble and complain. We, as the Bible says, we murmur. We murmur about everything. And it starts off in the spring with pollen. Then it turns into, when it gets hot, we complain about how hot it is. Then we complain about how cold it is. And ain't this, it's that. I mean, everything, think about everything, whether it's the political realm, whether it's the weather, whether it's the changing the name of something, whether it's a business closing down, or this or that, we complain about everything. Do we not see that? And we're critical. We're critical. I mean, I'm guilty of it. Do you know? I was struggling with it. I was going somewhere to a store, and I saw someone parked right in the front. Right in the front. And I was kind of, to myself, I kind of was like, I need to move. You know, have you ever been that way? I made a hasty judgment inside. You know what? Someone was coming out with a wheelchair. How judgmental I was. How critical I was. We do that all the time. That sums us up most of the time. We're entitled. We're bitter people. And all because we're unthankful. And here's what it's defeated us. It's defeated us. Do you catch yourself always grumbling each and every day, no matter what? Has the sin of ungratefulness led you to be dissatisfied? Has it led you to complain and criticize and compare? Has the sin of ungratefulness led you to be disobedient? Have you allowed ungratefulness to make you bitter and entitled to where you think it's okay to gossip, to criticize, to be unloving, to be cold, to give people the cold shoulder? And if that's you, that's the result of unthankfulness or ungratefulness. Let me ask you, have you become dissatisfied? Have you become defeated? That's really the question. Have you become defeated? So what do we do? What do we do? We do what the Bible says. Be thankful in every situation. Be thankful in all circumstances. Why? Because that's how it's important. I think that's why God said to do that, because He knows how important it is to be thankful. How imperative it is. Let's do that. And if you're not thankful, let me tell you, there will be consequences. There will be consequences. And we stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed. And the piano players come up to sing a song of invitation. Let me ask you, if we end today, the result, the theme of the sermon was the results of an ungrateful heart. And here they are. Dissatisfied. Let me ask you, are you just satisfied right now? Hey, you may have some legitimate reason that you could look at to be dissatisfied. But in any situation, God's at work and you have something to be thankful for. I mean, even the Israelites in bondage, they were being fed. And according to them, they were eating as much as they wanted. Which I don't know if I believe that, but, you know, that's what it says. And it said they were eating as much as they wanted. Oh, yeah, they were out in the middle of nowhere, but what they forgot, they had freedom. They had something to be thankful for. Hey, let's make sure we don't become dissatisfied. Let me ask you, are you being disobedient? Maybe because you've forgotten to be grateful. And sadly, are you defeated by that sin? Let's say it like that. The sin of ungratefulness. Oh, we love to harm people. We love to amen on certain sins, this and that. And we like to get all riled up inside. But let me tell you something. Your sin is just as bad as any other sin. And if they begin to play, maybe what you need to do, you need to repent. Maybe you need to repent of the sin of ungratefulness. See, the problem with ungratefulness probably isn't on our list. That legalistic list we like to make, you know, 10 things we don't do, you know what's probably not on there? Ungratefulness. But maybe as the Holy Spirit has spoke to you, maybe He showed you that like He has me. If God spoke to you, I want you to talk to Him today. Repent. Confess your sin. And He'll be faithful to forgive you. Because that's what it is. If you're guilty of that right now, you have sinned. And you need to ask God for forgiveness. That's the application. And you need to repent, which means turn away from that sin. Maybe you need to come to the altar. You don't have to repent at the altar. You can repent at your seat. But maybe you need to come to the altar. I want you to understand, even the sin, just like any sin that we like to talk about, it's a sin. And we all, if you're guilty of it, need to repent of it.